As I shared with you last Sunday, I mentioned to you that one of the things that I wanted to do was go and check on a little girl that our church has prayed for named Vika for quite some time. And if you're not familiar, and if you're visiting, we have a privilege of being able to minister to many people in different ways and different needs all over the whole world. But certainly for this little girl, it certainly has been a difficult year for her. In this particular year, she has watched as her mother, in a drunken stupor, fell from a balcony and broke her back. She has watched as her mother signed the papers last week to disown her as a child, pushed her into a shelter for children unwanted by anyone. Well, you can imagine when I found myself landing in Kyiv, I told the pastor and the interpreter, I said, well, I can't wait to see Vika. And he said, well, you can't see her. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, where she is, they won't let anybody in. And they're having a criminal investigation for some things going on there. You can't enter. Well, you can imagine the feeling I had. Okay, I've just flown from Atlanta to Kyiv with great, great passion in my heart to minister to the young lady that who, at a young age, found herself so overwhelmed by having to face things. This is a little girl, who for 3 or 4 years of her life lived on the street, could not speak, did not know how to write, and was kept warm by dogs in the gutters of Zhytomyr. This is a little girl who needed hope, hope for life. And so you can imagine when they told me, well, you can't go, my first thought was, they just don't know my God very well. That was my thought. And so the next morning when I got up, I said, okay, this evening, I want to go to see Vika. And they said, well, you can't go. I said, oh, yes, I can. I said, here's what we're going to do. When we finish all the other stuff we have to do, we're going to walk into that shelter like we belong there. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you just to tell the man who's a security guard, we're there to see somebody we love. And I said, you tell me, and I said, I'm going to walk right in like I've been there my whole life. So we walked in. The security guard was astonished. And he looked at it, he said, what is he doing here? He said, oh, he belongs here. And the security guard, really? Yes, he belongs here. He has people he loves here. He wants to see them. And so they said, well, go in this room in here, behind a locked door. That's always encouraging when they lock you in a room. And they locked me in the room and with an interpreter and another wonderful lady. And we sat there, and I said, what do you think they're doing? I said, I have no idea, but they said, well, we hope they're bringing Vika to you. Well, they brought, a few minutes later, we sat there for quite a while, we talked and chatted, and they brought her to me. And she grabbed me and wouldn't let go. And as she grabbed me, I said, Vika, we will always come. We will always love you. We will always care. And it's interesting because a few minutes later, she wanted to leave, and she went out of the room, and she wanted to bring 3 friends with her. 3 little kids whose mother had died and they'd been left to no one. She said, I want to bring my friends for you to meet them. And I asked and I said, tell me this, what can I do for all 4 of you? And it's interesting what they said. Just hug us and hold us because we need it so bad. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's a little girl and here are 3 little children. One of the little boys on crutches, only God knows why. His name was Bogdan. You saw his picture one day. I had no idea that a little sister and a brother also existed who would be orphaned into life. But I want you to think about what hope really represents. When the little kids looked at me, and it was not what money I had in my pocket, it was not the clothes I had on, it was just to know that someone would hold them for a moment. And when I think about that, it gives me goosebumps to realize that that is our mission in life, is to hug and hold someone until they realize that Christ is the answer. And so what you discover is it doesn't really matter how gifted or equipped you are. It only matters how willing you are to obey what it is that God intends for you to do in life. And so for when I think about Vika, when I look at her and I looked at her face and I looked and all of a sudden a smile began to cross her face and she would embrace me and let go. She would embrace me and let go. And then she would just sit beside me and pat my leg and be thankful to God that somebody cared. Here's what I want you to see today. We look at one of the most challenging thoughts in life, and that is, how do we represent hope for our entire lives? If you have your Bible, turn to a place where David faced the greatest challenge of his life. He had to ask himself the question, would I let fear or faith rule? Would I let insecurity and indifference rule? Or would I let the hand of God rule in my life? Would I let my opportunity be linked to obedience, or would I miss it because I had some kind of excuse? Would I surrender myself to accomplishing his purpose, or would I instead live out my own purpose? And in Psalm 37, you find that here is a place where he arrives at a thought that is the absolute essence of what his life is all about. In the 23rd verse of Psalm 37, notice what he says. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that when you look at this verse, it is absolutely connected and linked to action. It's being willing to do whatever it is God wants to do through you because you believe enough in him that you know his step, your steps are ordered by him. Because what he says here is he delights in his way. Now, I want you to get a hold of this thought for a moment. When you see the word delight there, it has to do with something that is soft and tender that we can grab hold of, And it's interesting because what you discover is if you go into any orphanage, any placement center, any place where people find themselves overwhelmed by the issues of life, they're always embracing something soft. They don't grab hold of something abrasive that scratches them. They grab hold of something that blesses them. And here's what I want you to think about today in your own life. When it comes to what you represent, when it talks about this idea of he delights in his steps, I'm going to tell you what it means. When you and I are offering hope to people and taking a step of action to connect to people's lives, that opens something up inside of God's heart. And it says this, that the Bible, that Jesus delights in our way. Wouldn't you love to think that the journey that you and I live out brings delight to God? I mean, can you imagine if you got to heaven and the Lord said, what did you do? Why did you miss it? What steps did you not take? What action did you not follow? What plan did you not yield to? What happened? Well, your immediate feeling would be to shrink back into reality. Oh, why did I miss that? And yet, here's the other side of it. If you watch as he tenderly grabs hold of you, and he begins to speak to your heart and begins to say to you, be the man you're supposed to be. Be the woman you're supposed to be. Be the teenager you're supposed to be. Take hope to someone. What happens to you? You find yourself just like me in places all over the world and across the street in good news clubs and connecting into living the promise and meeting people at foster care, stopping and reaching into the lives of those who are connected to Gilgal, making sure that we help those who are hungry through Norcross Ministry. Look outside in the hallway at the faithfulness of God's people, bringing groceries to help people who are hungry who live in our city. You see, the truth of the matter is that whether it's a woman in a crisis at the Atlanta Crisis Pregnancy Center who needs to know somebody cares about her, or whether it's someone who's facing a great challenge where they need to be blessed through whirlwind missions and other things, whatever it is, however it is God calls on us to act, what he wants us to do is represent hope. What he wants us to do is to be inspired to live our lives and make sure it matters in life. And what I want you to think about today is you look at this passage. Here's a place where in verse 1 he makes it clear that he had to deal with the issues that made him afraid. Notice what he said. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Watch this. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Think about this for a second. What he really says is this. When you delight in him, you don't have to get uptight about everything going on, and you don't have to get overwhelmed by anything that's happening in your world. You instead look inside your heart. You look inside your heart, and notice how he says it here. He makes it so clear. He will, in verse 6, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Don't you love that thought? I mean, let me ask you this. Don't you love the fact that you get a chance to shine, that your light shine so that people would see what it is God done through you, what God wants to do in you, how he wants to work around you? And what happens here is he brings to light that you and I have to be careful, that if we're not careful, we'll miss the steps he has for us. And it's interesting because you don't find anything in here where he says, sit down and hang out and think about how bad life is. I mean, you don't have any, there's nothing in here that says, well, you know what? You need to have an oh, poor me day. You need to just stop. Listen carefully. When you have your next oh, poor me day, you just find yourself in a shelter where the likelihood is those kids are being snatched out and thrown into sex trade industry. They're being taken away from a very traumatic childhood into something much worse. And you begin to realize, you know what? You don't have a bad day. Your bad day just ended that moment. And let me tell you what David had. Here's what happened to David. David found himself overwhelmed with two different feelings. this feeling of anger and this feeling of fear. And here's what I want you to see. He answers it all by saying, it is not my fear, it is not my anger, it is the steps ordered by God. And I'm going to tell you what happens. You start living like that, all of a sudden, something begins to happen inside of you and a light goes off. You know what? That's how I want to live. And let me tell you what I love about our church family. This is a praying church. Let me tell you what I felt when I walked into that shelter on Tuesday night. The shelter closes at 6 o'clock. We got there at 6:05. And when we got there, my first thought was, it's past time to even be able to walk in here. But the praying people of One Heart Church believed that God would open a door. And that guy buzzed us in, walked us into that place. And I'm going to tell you, when I walked out of there, I knew God was on his throne. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. I could have accepted the feelings of those who told me you can't go. Or I could accept the affirmation of a God in heaven who said, you will go. And it all comes down to what we're willing to accept in life. And what happens here is David understands this. David understands that the reality is that if he's going to be able to accomplish what God intends, he has to be willing to look at his own life and say, what kind of hope do I represent? And today I want to ask you just one single question that I hope will cause you to think about what your life is really all about and how it matters to be able to make a difference. And when I think about that, I think about our global opportunities, places God's called us. I think about our outreach through FCA and using that recreational bent to touch into lives. I think about a foster family who needs help and encouragement. I think about a country all over the world, be it Honduras, be it Guatemala, be it where we've been in Italy, be it Tanzania, be it Romania, be it Ukraine, wherever God wants us to go, Guatemala, you name the place. But you have to ask yourself one very distinctive question. When you think of hope, what comes to mind? In other words, when you start thinking, okay, if this is really all about who he is, what comes to mind in my heart and life? And I'm going to tell you what happened. When we get energized by hope, something begins to happen. That's why Romans 5 says, hope does not disappoint. And what you discover is this, when somebody gets a hold of hope, it changes everything about who they are. It changes the way they look at life. It changes the way they make decisions. They start making decisions not based in what is their comfort, watch this, but based on what is their conviction. And their conviction is, I'm going to make a difference with my life. So I want you to imagine for a moment, you're sitting in church today and you get challenged to think about your hope. Think about how you live out that hope. Because remember this, hope is Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the answer to those who are in darkness. Jesus is the answer to those who are struggling. Jesus is the answer to the family who gets the pizza box in Iran. Jesus is the answer to the person looking for an answer that they've struggled all their life. Jesus becomes everything to them when the hope arrives. And that's why our theme this year is to have hope that never lets go. Hope for life and let it carry us forward. You notice again in this 23rd verse, he says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. Flying home yesterday, I watched a man get very sick. They were calling for doctors. They were calling for medical personnel. He's only two seats away from me. And as I was watching the struggle to try to figure out what was wrong with him, I started thinking about the steps that God gives us all. None of us know, watch this, how many steps we get. But we do know this, that they are ordered by God. And sometimes they're not always easy, but they're ordered by him. And he orders those steps out to cause us to be able to look and say, hey, you know what? I want my life to matter. I want to be seen as a vessel worthy and obedient before God. Well, thankfully, the man walked off the plane, but he was very, very ill. And as I watched him, my first thought was, I wonder if he's a young man or an older man. And he was young. He was young. And as I watched as he stood up to try to stand up out of his seat at the end of the flight, I sat there thinking, we just don't know how many days we have or how many steps we get to take. But what we do know is that as long as he gives us breath, as long as he gives us energy, as long as he inspires our hearts, as long as he touches our lives, we ought to be willing to say, you know what, that's how I want to live. That's how I want to live. And listen carefully. In this wretched culture that we live in this society that has gone beyond the toilet to the sewer lines of disgrace, we as God's people must represent hope. We must represent what people need the most because we are the light in this culture. We are the ones who take our assignment seriously. And what David does in the 37th Psalm is he starts taking his assignment seriously. And I want you to think about it. If you take it seriously, ultimately, the heart of God rests on those who choose obedience as a way of life. That's what you see. His heart rests on us as we obey. And obedience does something in us. So I want you to think about what would happen if we were just willing to do four things. Four things just to think about in our own journey of faith that might inspire us to become who he wants us to be. And I want you to think about this in light of where you are in your own life. And think about it and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Guide me. The first thing I would challenge you to think about that we've got to be willing to do is we've got to be willing to step into action, not to sit down and wonder. We've got to be willing to step into what God wants to do. Now, here's what's cool about our One Heart Church. This is the most amazing part of our church. If you want to share the gospel, you can sign up and help in a Good News Club this very day. You can battle against what's happening in our culture where they're trying to start Satan clubs, and you can help by sharing the gospel with children and watch it exponentially grow. We're watching that happen right now. You can fix a meal for somebody who is hungry through our foster care and Promise One-on-One. You can, watch this, you can go to the Atlanta Crisis Pregnancy Center and encourage somebody who's facing the most crucial decision of their life. You can take all these steps. You can sign up for a mission trip. You can go into the world, somewhere in the world. You can pray. You can give. You can go. You can do all those things. But you have to be willing to take a step. And what I want you to see today is this. It's in our first step that our hearts are always defined. Always defined. It goes all the way back to my early years of life. I'll never forget the first time I ever saw my wife. I'll never forget because my friend said to me, you know, and I've told you the story, but one of the things he said to me was that you will never enter that promised land. That is not that you are a man of the wilderness. You are never going to enter that. That's not going to be your story. And I'll never forget the first step I took. And you know what? It goes back 40-something years. But I have a picture in my office that reminds me of that day every time I look at it, because it's a beautiful picture of Cindy at 18 years old. And I can remember thinking, I could have listened to my friend who said, never going to happen. But what I want you to see today is this. What you and I do, we either step into action or we miss the best of life. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, I want our church family to be so in action. And I'm not asking everyone to go somewhere in the world, because the world starts here. I want you to do something locally. I want you to do something with your own life. And my wife was telling me about teaching our women's Bible study yesterday, and they're studying in 2 Timothy. And she was telling her story. I said, yes, 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 yes. Because she said to all the ladies in the room, step up, step into action. Do something with what it is God's equipped you to be able to do. And I'm going to tell you what's cool about this lobby today. Everybody can step into some kind of action. You just got to be willing to do it. But the second thing I want to encourage you to think about is this. Because as David began to encounter what was transpiring, look if you would at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. Their inheritance will be forever. When you think about that, what he says here, the word blameless means to be in a position and a place where you can actually accomplish what God intended. That's what being blameless is all about. That's why when you get over to verse 37, which was a promise that I prayed over, a friend of mine sitting in this room, who's a faithful man. And when in Psalm 37, 37, listen to what it said. Mark the blameless man and behold the upright. And what you discover is, here's what happens. When someone, watch this, steps into action, they learn how to pray with passion. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor Ron's prayer, the prayer of God's people, opened the door for an amazing encounter. We stepped into action and prayed with passion, and God moved on that trip. The third thing I want to challenge you to do is think about what it's like to touch one heart. To touch a heart, just to reach into somebody's life and touch their heart and make a difference. Because if you learn how to do that, you'll change their lives forever. And what happens here is David, he's balancing. And look at verse 25, because what does he say here? I've been young, now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed, or his descendants begging for bread. Touch a heart. The final thing I want to challenge you to think about regarding where you are is this. Learn how to share hope. Learn how to share hope. Because I'm going to tell you, hope comes in lots of different forms, but it always ends with Jesus. It always ends there. And it's interesting because I want to conclude with this. Last night, 9:30 at night, my phone beeped and it was Nikolai from Ukraine. 7 hour difference in time, so it's the middle of the night for him. And he said, it's early morning, I should say. And he said, Pastor Joe, I am praying for you right now. And I wrote him, I said, Nikolai, why are you awake? He said, I can't sleep because I keep praying for you. And I said, well, thank you very much. That means a lot to me. And he said, I have to tell you something. And he wrote me these words. They make me want to cry. Pastor Gerald, I not speak with you so much as I wish, but I want to share even this word from you that I heard, and watch this, and something in your eyes, maybe your faith in ministry that you do, really helped me to establish in my mission to work with teenagers and youth the rest of my life. Let me tell you, that came across at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning his time. And as I read it, I thought to myself, May my eyes always burn with hope. And that's my prayer for each one of us, that we would live lives of hope. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God. He delights in his way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing, amazing opportunity to look at your word today and see that it speaks to our hearts and lives. I pray you bless every person in this room. In this room are people who can step, people who can pray, people who can go, people who can give. They just have to be willing to say yes to you. And so I ask you, Lord, to do what only you can do. Speak to lives, move hearts, transform people's thoughts, cause them to realize that they can give hope for life if they just represent you. The reality is, Lord, at the end of our journey, no one will ask what is the balance of our checkbook or what kind of house we lived in. But they will ask, did we fulfill our mission in life? And may we say in our hearts, yes, because we committed to live out hope for life. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you would do something amazing and you would do something profound and do it all to your glory. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.